Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, a.k.a. your favorite Star Wars character, Snap Wexley, and you are right where you need to be, listening to yet another amazing episode of the Black Squadron Podcast.
Oh, welcome back. Black Squadron Podcast, episode 37.
Hello, guys.
What's going on? How y'all doing?
Not much. Chilling, surviving.
Trying to get my show notes up.
I was going to say, I got them all up and ready to go.
So we, did we have a show last week? We did not have a show last week.
No, we had some things come up last minute. So no squadrons last week, unfortunately.
To say the least. It's been a crazy week, though. Crazy week and a half of just like, nearly constant Star Wars related news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been something. I mean, it's definitely there. It seems like there's a long period of just absolutely nothing, and now it's every couple of days there's something new coming out.
So is the Mandalorian, it's the next thing to actually come out, right?
Yeah, so I'm not sure off the top of my head if there's any like books or anything coming out between now and October 30th, but
there is book comes out on the 20th. Hey, Danny. Book comes out on the 20th. Hold on, I just put it in my Amazon cart. Let me pull my Amazon app.
I was going to say, I'm so behind on the book news other than like all the High Republic stuff, because that was like the last few days has been so High Republic heavy, but we'll get into that a little later.
The Star Wars Lightsaber Collection coffee table book comes out the 20th.
Oh, okay. I know they've been teasing that for months now, so I never knew when it was coming out, but I guess
there's one makes sense. More. Trying to find it. It's a blue. I remember it's a blue hardcover, and it comes out too. Coffee with Kenobi just tweeted it. Danzy just tweeted a picture with him holding it. It was like basically facts, like legit facts from the entirety of Star Wars. It looked really interesting. But
is that Star Wars book?
Yeah, it's blue.
I think it's called the Star Wars book or something by Pablo Hidalgo.
Yeah.
So I remember seeing that because Hot Toys had their Death Watch come out, and it had a in the description like the place that the settlement that Din Djarin's on when he's rescued in the end of season one of Mandalorian. And I think that was like the first time I had ever seen like what that settlement was called. So I was like, hold on, let me go to Wikipedia and figure out where this has been coming from for the first time. And that book was where it was referenced before. So.
That's
ever since I started school, I'm behind on the books and the comics. Sucks.
But. I'm actually sitting in front of my books tonight because I can't physically get into my studio. For anybody who doesn't know, I was in a car accident 2 weeks ago, and I have a cast from my toes to my hip on my left leg, so I can't get in my studio, which sucks because I can't do my usual artist outlet. So I'm by my books. Here's my crutches. but I wanted to show you guys this. This is the Kanan Omnibus. I got it at Five Below for $5, I think. But I took the dust cover off, and this is what it looks like under the dust cover.
Oh, wow.
Oh, very cool.
So I love it so much. And just like...
When'd you get that?
Mari got it for me, actually. Months and months ago, but she was able to give it to me on my birthday because we... finally said F it and went to the same room. Even though the pandemic.
I was going to say the struggle nowadays.
Yeah. But we went 9 months without seeing anybody. Well, at least I did. So I was finally just like, I know I've been tested. They've been tested. Let's go for it. And so far, so good. I was tested 2 weeks ago, so I know I'm good.
I was going to say, anytime I have to travel anywhere, I like come back, get tested, and I'm like, I'm in this like 2 week rotation now where I seem to constantly be getting tested.
Those swabs are super fun.
I don't mind them at this point, honestly. Like it's just like, I'll show up. They'll be like, have you done this before? I'm like, oh yeah.
That's because your brain is numb and don't.
Well, fortunate's not the right word, but because of my situation that I was in, I didn't even know what was happening. So they kind of just did it, and I was there, but don't recall it. So yeah, but so much Star Wars news to get into. So let's hop on to the Holonet headlines, if you will, and just go over the last week and a half.
Yeah, so we'll start off. So this weekend started on Thursday, was New York Comic Con's virtual Comic Con, because obviously there's no in-person Comic Cons going on right now. They're calling it New York Comic Con Metaverse. And there were three Star Wars panels. One was yesterday, and there were two today, this morning. The one yesterday was all about the High Republic. I had Claudia Gray, Charles Soule, Justina Ireland, Daniel Jose Older, Kevin Scott, and Michael Sigling. And basically what they did during this panel is they talked a little bit about the state of the galaxy during this great disaster. That's this big event that's taking place in the High Republic. We got a little bit more info on some of the heroes we see, some of their motivations. There's a really cool quote. I think it was either Soule or Kevin Scott said it, but basically how every Jedi has a unique interaction with the Force. So there's one Jedi that basically views the Force as music. So I think they're really going to get into the sort of this, every Jedi's got a unique spin to the Force and interacts with the Force in different ways. So that's kind of exciting. I didn't really think about, you know, the idea that every Jedi has a different way that they've interact with the Force or see the Force or perceive the Force. So it kind of goes to that whole, the Force is its own basically thing.
I really think we're going to get a whole new perspective on Star Wars with this new High Republic. Because every time they talk about it, they talk about the individual Jedi that they've created and how just unique they are in terms of what we already know.
I was going to say, I think they were given a lot of freedoms with each of their own Jedi and their respective pieces that they worked on. They talked a little bit about how even the lightsaber, so the Wookiee character, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but when they created that character, they gave him a big giant two-handed lightsaber, basically like a broadsword kind of thing. Cause that made sense for a Wookiee to have that.
Yeah. I may be wrong. Cause I would kind of caught the tail end of this one, but did they mention the Wookiee Jedi's connection to the Force had something to do with the tree because of Kashyyyk? They thought maybe, I can't remember what they said exactly, but I remember hearing them say something like that.
Yeah, it's either connection to the Force via the tree or views the Force as a tree. So something along those lines, but I'm sure, you know, we'll see more as those books come out or as we learn more about those characters.
It would have been sweet if you would have got the wooden hilt like in Rebels?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see that in the High Republic. I'm so excited for this. Slade and I were talking last night. Full disclosure, Slade and Mari were not able to make it tonight, so that's why it's the three of us. But last night, Slade and I played Call of Duty Warzone until about 3 a.m. So we were talking about High Republic, and it dawned on me. If you are somebody who has always been interested in Star Wars but have been intimidated by the 40 plus years of catch up, High Republic is perfect for you because you could start day one. You could become a foremost expert on High Republic day one.
Even some of the new canon, like the stuff that's come out since Disney took over. I mean, there's such a giant backlog with that. Cause I know I've tried, I was like, oh, I'm going to start, you know.
Hey Rez. Oh, we lose Todd.
Surprise.
Am I still there? Am I here?
Yeah, there you go.
Good. Okay. So what I was saying was that I was going to start reading the whole canon timeline from the first canon novel all the way through, but either they keep releasing stuff that comes out before other stuff, so I have to stop and backtrack, or there's just so much stuff to get through that sort of this new restart for the High Republic is a cool jumping in point for someone who might be a little intimidated at jumping into the new canon timeline stuff.
I'm right with you, Danny. I was excited for more Star Wars content, but initially it was just like kind of sporadic information, so I didn't like dive into it at all. But in the last probably 4 days, I've been really interested in it and reading as much as I can about it.
So, and the good news is there are more High Republic stuff coming out. Michael Sigling said that they're already in the process of starting like phase two, basically, of books. So there's more novels, more young adult novels. they're bringing back serialized fiction to Star Wars Insider. And that's being written by Charles Soule. So he's coming back in doing that. And that comes out in December. So I guess we'll see. That'll be the first thing, I guess, to come out for the High Republic. Mm-hmm. If it's this December, because I don't think the books themselves come out until January.
Yeah. That's so great. Anytime we can get Charles Soule work, the better.
I was going to say, they just seem to keep pushing Soule to do either more novels now or more writing. So I'm a fan. I love his work. So I'm excited to see more of it.
Yeah. Big fan.
I think it's going to be interesting seeing Yoda in a time of his struggle, like building up to be a master. I think that's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Like the places he goes and stuff. Cause he's always been in one area all the time.
So we got to see a little bit of how much of a badass he was in episode 3.
Yeah.
I guess this will be magnified, right? Because he'll be younger.
Right. And it's going to be more, I mean, how strong he was at that point. This time he's going to be probably going to get defeated a couple of times. And it's going to be interesting.
So we did do a live tweet of it for anybody who might have missed the panel. So if you head over to the Twitter account, tried as best we could to follow along. There's a lot going on with the panel itself. It's a lot. Well, and especially just the names, like trying to spell out the names of all these different Star Wars characters. I was like, oh, I made a mistake not closed captioning it.
I feel like every show I say this, but I'll die on this hill. Every book that they make needs an index in the back with a pronunciation guide.
Oh, 100%.
I swear I'd never say a name right until I see him like in a cartoon or a live action. I'm like, I was doing that wrong.
Yeah, totally wrong. So that was the High Republic panel. Today, like I said, there was two more panels. There was a publishing panel. So that had Daniel Jose Older again, Preeti Chibber, Phil Szostak, Katie Cook, Zoraida Cordova, and Amy Ratcliffe. And that was moderated by Kristen Baver. So they touched a little bit on some of the upcoming books, From a Certain Point of View, Strikes Back, the Clone Wars book that recently, I can't remember if it's come out already or if it's coming out. That's sort of retellings of some of the iconic Clone Wars episodes. And then the stuff that I was most interested in was Phil talking about the Art of Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. He said that unlike other art of books, like the movie books that he's done, because he's done all the sequel trilogy era art of books, but this one they had just so much content to work with, because it's 5.5 hours of Star Wars content versus 2.5 for the movies. But they still had that restriction of trying to get it in the same size as the 2.5 hour movie books. So the challenge is that was for him to sort of condense all of that into the same size book. And also how he wanted to sort of capture the process that Favreau and Filoni had sort of creating the show. So we're going to see a little bit of that, as well as all the gorgeous concept art, either the stuff that we saw at the end of each episode or the stuff that we saw that we haven't seen. So
I posted a couple. I think there was 4 teaser pictures posted somewhere, and I posted them on our Facebook page. So if you guys want to check that out, there's 4 teaser pictures from that book.
So, and then they did announce there is a new Vader comic coming out. It's the Shadow of Vader's Castle. So it's similar to, I think it was that first Vader's Castle. Was it one of those IDW adventure kind of comics? So doing it around Halloween, they seem to like to go to Vader's Castle a lot during this time of the year.
If only there was other characters in Star Wars to write stuff about.
I know. I was going to say Twitter. There's definitely people that were like, we have, the Night Sisters, the literal witches of Star Wars that you could write stories about, but they seem to want to always go back to Vader and his castle.
Yeah, that's always safe, right?
They love it, man.
So, and then the last panel.
Wrong. I love Vader. Don't get me wrong, but there's just so much more juice to squeeze.
Well, and it's just it seems like between the Vader comic, the main Vader comic lines that have come out, it just seems like they're like, oh, you want more Vader? Here's more Vader.
Yeah.
It's like, you didn't ask for it, but we're going to give it to you.
I suppose it's safe.
A new Kylo comic would be cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to get some more of that. I mean, the last one was all right.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe they'll give us next year, we'll get some real spooky stuff.
You can only hope at this point, right? So, and then the last panel was a mindfulness panel. So that was Amy Ratcliffe again, Ashley Eckstein, and Dr. Drea Letamendi. And basically what they talked about was how the practice of mindfulness inspires and empowers some of our favorite Star Wars characters and how we can bring some of that inspiration into our everyday lives. So I haven't watched all of this panel yet. I need to go back and finish it up, but kind of an interesting idea of how to bring, you know, what we see in Star Wars into everyday life and how everyday life kind of influences Star Wars.
I'm actually pretty excited for that one.
Yeah. So in other news, we have some more book news. They're making a manga adaptation of Claudia Gray's young adult novel, Leia, Princess of Alderaan. So they've done this in the past. They did it with the whole Lost Stars book. They turned that into, I think it was like a 3-volume manga. Mm-hmm. So the artwork is always gorgeous in it. I don't think they really change anything as far as the story goes. So you're still going to get the same story. I haven't read Leia, Princess of Alderaan yet. It's like in my giant backlog of books to read.
Yeah.
But the we did see some first looks at this, what it's going to look like, and the art in that is absolutely gorgeous. So I might pick it up just because it looks so nice.
I posted the first 7 pages of it on our Facebook page. Someone posted it. I think it was the publisher, blanking on the publisher name. No, never mind. The publisher posted the first 7 pictures, so I posted it on Facebook page.
I was going to say, it's up on StarWars.com if anybody wants to see it. It's over there as well. They also showed, we got a first glimpse at the opening crawl that's going to be in the High Republic. So kind of interesting that they're really taking a...
Sorry, David.
I was going to say, cover it right up with David. It's interesting that they're taking sort of a movie approach with the High Republic, you know, giving us that same opening crawl sort of vibe.
Yeah, so for the podcast listeners, it starts off as Star Wars, the High Republic. The galaxy is at peace, ruled by glorious Republic and protected by the noble and wise Jedi Knights. As a symbol of all that is good, the Republic is about to launch Starlight Beacon into the far reaches of the Outer Rim. The new space station will serve as a ray of hope for all to see. But just as a magnificent renaissance spreads throughout the Republic, so does a frightening new adversary. Now the Guardians of Peace Justice must face a threat to themselves, the galaxy, and the Force itself. Which sounds exciting. I'm a little, like, how bad is the Outer Rim that it's been hundreds and hundreds of years? We're still messing with it.
I was going to say, it's just the Wild Wild West out there.
Right. Yeah. Right. At what point do you just punt and say,
let's venture.
Peace. It's like, you guys are on your own out there. Just have fun. We're going to focus on the inner rim.
Yeah, we can't handle the inner rim, but we're trying to somehow fix the outer rim too. So you know what? The mid rim, meh.
So, and then there was also the last bit of publishing news. They released a short story for Squadrons called The Light You Bring. And this follows two of the characters that you see in the campaign for Squadrons, Keo and Frisk. So you follow them on a mission that basically takes place sort of right before where the campaign kicks off. I thought it was interesting. It's sort of, I don't know if we're going to see more stuff like this where we see sort of a little bit more of Vanguard Squadron or Titan Squadron. We'll talk about a little bit more of those later in the show. But I think it'd be interesting to see more about these characters. You learn a little bit about them in the campaign, but I think there's still a lot more that they can kind of explore with each of these, both sides of these characters.
Mm-hmm. I think if this game would have come out 10 years ago, we'd have 3.7375 figures of everybody in this game.
We still might, honestly. Like, they might push. I don't know. Hasbro is Hasbro, and I've got my own beef with them, but...
they didn't make Rise of Skywalker figures in that line. They're definitely not going to make it for some
That's true. It's like, I mean, pulling teeth trying to get...
We might get the Black Series ones, how they did it.
Well, they did Aiden for Battlefront 2. Right. And that's it.
Yeah.
They're coming out with more now. I mean,
maybe they'll do gaming greats. I mean, I know that's a line that's starting to pick up. They've picked older games for that, but I could see them maybe picking up some of the characters from the campaign for doing a couple of those in the gaming greats line.
Yeah, well, that's
Fallen Jedi, right?
Yeah, Fallen Jedi got the Scout Trooper, which we'll get to later. They did Battlefront 2. They did a heavy B1 battle droid. And I want to say there was a clone of some sort, but I could be wrong.
Well, and they also did Jango Fett from the Bounty Hunter game was a gaming great. They've done Revan.
Yeah, the Revan figure.
Yeah, Revan's had a big comeback. I don't know. That like the amount of like merch that we've gotten for Revan recently makes me think that maybe they're going to bring him back in a bigger role.
Yeah.
I think it's because I think that's what was supposed to happen with the brothers that went to Netflix or whatever. I think that's
Benioff and Weiss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I really think that was going to come out and they just said, oops.
Well, those two guys.
Because there was a lot of merch coming out for that.
I mean, it's all they have to do is look at the Kylo Ren when Kylo Ren first was announced, and all his figures look really cool. That design, the helmet, is toyetic, and Revan is anything but toyetic. And that sells. To steal a term from wrestling figures, very toyetic figure. I saw somebody made a custom soft goods cloak for the Revan Black Series, and it made it look like a Hot Toys. So that figure is very well done. I will give them much props for that.
I was gonna say I do think Black Series has done a great job with their figures. I've got more Black Series now than I know what to do with all the Mando line that they keep announcing. It's like every time they announce a new one, I'm like, here's my credit card, just take it. So I do hope we see more of that. I don't know if I'll get into any of the gaming greats, but I think that they've definitely done well with the Black Series line. So hopefully we'll get some Squadrons love as well.
Well, yeah. They actually made Rey look like Rey now. And like I said before, not an elf. There was it's really bad.
They struggled there for a bit with some of the characters face-wise. But where credit's due, they crushed aliens and droids, so can't hit on it too much.
I was gonna say the last bit of news is just Squadrons came out. So we obviously haven't had a show since Squadron actually came out, but Squadrons is out. I don't know if you two have had a chance to play it yet. I know BP, you've kind of been out of commission, so I don't know if you had a chance to dive into it, but
I played it for we'll get into this, but I played it for a little bit, but with the medication I'm on, it made me way too dizzy, so I had to turn it off.
I don't blame you. It's a lot of spinning.
We'll talk about Squadrons here shortly, but there's still a ton of more Star Wars news. So news, I guess it is news for nerds like myself, toy news or collectibles news. I never thought that this was something I would need Star Wars related, but there's a company called Corksicle, and they have tumblers and canteens that perform similarly as Yetis. So it keeps it super cold or super hot, whatever you have for long periods of time. But they're gorgeous.
Damn.
So this in the front is the Darth Vader canteen. It's gloss black. It's got one red stripe. It's very understated, but you know what it is looking at it if you're a nerd. And then the Stormtrooper collection in the back, which is very subtle again, but gorgeous. I don't have the pictures, but they also had C-3PO, which were actual gold. They really, really shine. And then there was a Luke Skywalker in his X-Wing design. So it's like orange, white, and gray. And R2-D2, there was one more I'm blanking on. But if you go to Corksicle's website, they have a ton. The canteen's like $35. The tumbler was $30, I want to say.
Another loan you have to take out then, huh?
Yeah. Got to pay to play. So the next thing, I haven't really looked into much. I'm curious as to how this came about. So Polaroid cameras haven't been a thing for a long time. Now they're a thing again. And there is a The Mandalorian specific Polaroid camera. I don't know what to do with this information. So the actual camera itself is just dark gray with some gray, light gray highlights. There's a Mudhorn signet on the top of it. If I think I saw correctly, the actual Polaroid picture piece that you put in, the blank, totally blanking on what the hell they're called, blank photos that you take the pictures on. Anyway, they have the child on them somehow, in some way. So if you're in the market for a new Polaroid camera, folks, there's a Star Wars related one, Mandalorian one coming out.
Todd's smiling like he already pre-ordered it.
I was going to say, I don't know. So like, I'm not huge into Polaroids, but the fact that they slapped Mando stuff on a Polaroid and it's like, this is what you need. I was like, I saw that on the Mando Mondays drop and I was like, oh, this is a little interesting. Like, there's so many other things that we could have right now, and a Polaroid camera is what we're going with. But
when you pull the clip, video clip for this episode, that was it.
It's just that.
That what you just said. Yeah. But actually, I wanted to show you guys, they finally have some Clone Wars Season 7 Funko Pops.
I'm so excited about these.
And they are gorgeous. Like, I'm trying to quit Funko Pops like everybody is seemingly, but it's like cocaine, man. you can't stop. So I'm going to share
screen. Especially when this stuff comes out.
So there's an Ahsoka, Order 66 Ahsoka is what I'm calling this one, because this is what she was wearing, I believe. And here she is outside the box. These are all available for pre-order pretty much everywhere. I ordered mine from Amazon.
I was going to say, I grabbed a couple off of Amazon too, but I know they went up, like, I think first on GameStop.
Mm-hmm. This is a GameStop exclusive Ahsoka from the Sisters arc in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. And there's a better picture of it. I mean, she looks great.
Yep.
So for those of you who only listen to this podcast, check out this stream, this video on our channel, because these are worth looking at. And this one is incredible. They crushed this Darth Maul.
I'm still shocked it took this long for them to actually put out some good, solid Clone Wars Funkos, though.
This looks so good. This is so much better than the original Maul. It makes me want to vomit.
Isn't there a Rebels Maul, too, though, that came out? I remember that. That one looks pretty cool, too.
We got a Bo-Katan Funko.
Yeah, I had to get that. So, y'all know me. I'm a sucker for Mando, so I saw Bo, and I think the next one, BP, you're going to show is the Wrecker.
Yeah, next one's Wrecker. This is the one I pre-ordered. I love Wrecker. I love his armor, his helmet, everything. So, yeah, this is the one that I pre-ordered. Look at that. Look at that big boy.
Well, and you already know they're going to have the whole Bad Batch Funko line, so they've already got you with Wrecker.
Yeah, I'm in. And then the Mandalorian Super Commando.
Yep. I think this is the female one, right?
Yeah, the female, yeah.
So
dual wielding. And then Gar Saxon, which this one is incredible. They did such a good job.
Sexy.
It's so clean. And I don't know. I love like the whole Mandalorian look. So I was excited to see some pops. So I got that and the Bo-Katan one.
Yeah, this one's so good. Like, everything's good. The blaster is spot on, the helmet, the armor, everything. This is probably, they just keep getting better, Funko's, in my opinion. They just keep getting better and better.
I'm terrified to see like what Funko's gonna look like, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, because they really do, like, the poses have gotten so much better, the detailing's gotten so much better as time's gone on. So
they'll be doing 20 inches pretty soon.
Well, they've got the big 10-inch ones already, so I'm terrified to see where they go next, but I don't know. I'm running out of
time. Look what Danny put.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, Funko, come to the dark side, Danny. Danny, I'm right there with you. It feels like whenever a Funko is announced, I'm like, all right, you know what? Like, I'm like, I'm almost out of here. I'm done. I don't need any more Funkos. And then they're like, no, hold on. What about this? I've got like 5 or 7 Baby Yodas now. Like, they're all the same Funko, just a different pose. I'm like, yeah. I don't need any more of these. And then they announce another one. I'm like, all right, well, here you go.
I told myself when I ordered the Sideshow life size the child that I did not need to buy any of the Funkos. I go to Five Below, I see a bunch of child Funkos, it's in my cart.
Yeah.
And now I have one. It's like, how did this happen?
I really would like, if I could go back in time and like tell my young collecting self something, it would be chill on the Funkos. Just because I remember it was like one of the first things I ever really bought when I got into like started getting it more into collecting. And I bought like two or three Funkos when they were doing their smugglers bounty boxes. And then from there, it's just been like a downhill battle that I'm losing.
That's funny. Danny has three Kylo Ren Funkos. Who the hell needs three? Well, you know what? I think I might have three of them too.
I was going to say, you got to get Kylo unmasked. Kylo with his mask.
Kylo with his right hand up.
And then, the repaired mask.
Then you're going to have Kylo, like good boy Ben Kylo. So
the 10-inch Kylo Ren.
Yeah. It's great. I'm excited. I love it.
I almost showed this when we were talking about the High Republic, but they've gave us a really good view of Master Stellan Geos from the High Republic's lightsaber. And it's killer. It's very Knights of the Round Table feeling, but Star Wars, I have no words. It's honestly, it's gorgeous. Definitely check it out if you're just listening to the podcast, but,
well, and the cool part, I don't think you can see it on the image that we're showing, but when it's ignited, it's got two beams that basically look like, you know, Kylo Ren's kind of cross guard on his lightsaber, except for it's got that, arched kind of claw look too. So I think these are going to be exciting. These lightsabers, I think I'm curious to see if like Galaxy's Edge makes like the, was it the Legacy Edition or whatever their Legacy lightsabers, if they do some of these from the High Republic, just because they're all such unique designs. And yeah, there it is. So it's got that beam emitting from both sides as well as the top.
So the cross, it's essentially a lightsaber cross guard, like a true one, because I think Kylo was kind of an accident because there was too much power going through his blade, his saber. This is a legitimate cross guard, which is curious thinking now, because a lot of the pictures we've seen, a lot of the lightsabers have some sort of cross guard or some sort of guard on the hilt. Were they super ineffective? And that's why we never saw them the last 45 years.
Is that going all the way to the claw or whatever that is? Is it?
Well, it's interesting. It kind of makes me think, you know, the whole idea that like Kylo Ren is in charge of the Knights of Ren and the High Republic is like the Knights of the Jedi kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, and it's probably not, this is just wild speculation on my end, but it's almost like Kylo Ren is sort of inspired by the ancient Jedi of old. Yeah. In the way that he's built his lightsaber. So I don't know, probably not even remotely close, but it's a cool little headcanon theory for me.
Well, hopefully they'll use them more in High Republic than Kylo did with Knights of Ren. Cause man,
you guys hear that? That's the national sound of DC. And it's not coming from me this time.
I was going to say, it's either cats outside your apartment or the lovely sounds of the DC nightlife.
That's straight out of Omaha right there. That's the streets.
So if anything ever happens bad in DC, I'm screwed because I just ignore it now because it happens like 15 to 40 times a day. And ignore it. All right. So next, we briefly touched on it, but the gaming greats, the Scout Trooper from Fallen Order with the electro staff thingamabobby has. This thing stands out to me the most because of the box art. The box art is awesome. So this is a GameStop exclusive. So if you guys want to pre-order this, head over to GameStop. Check that out. Go online, not in the store.
Yeah, I'm really digging the Black Series boxes now, how they're making them glow and stuff like that.
So much better than just the black and red for a collection purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how all of them, a lot of them, I don't know if the gaming grades do, but at least the newer lines, they have the art murals on the sides. You can, if you... This is like where the OCD collector in me comes in. You got to get everyone in the line so that you have the perfect mural.
Yeah. They're gorgeous though. They really did crush the box redesign. So I skipped one because I wanted to go back to it. The Hasbro Razor Crest backer project. The goal was 6,000 originally. As of before this show started, they're at 10,182 backers. That's a lot of people buying the Vintage Collection Razor Crest, which is nearly 3 feet long. But today there was a panel for it, and it was the guy from marketing and the guy who, from design, and they showed some more pictures, like actual pictures of the Razor Crest. And I only pulled three of them to show you guys, and for very specific reasons. So this is going to cover our whole screen because I wanted it to be big so you guys could see it, but you'll still be able to hear me, I think. So this is the back of the Razor Crest with the exclusive Soft Goods Den Djarin figure. Just to give you an example of the detail that you're getting in this thing. As far as I know, it's $350. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And the next picture, you can take this thing completely apart, down to just skeleton. Even the engine compartment, you can take the literal engine apart in this thing. That's how detailed insanity this thing is. And if you wanted to recreate the scene in episode 2, you could take this entire thing apart. Entire thing. There's nothing that doesn't come apart except for the actual skeleton of the Razor Crest. And that's such a cool feature to me.
So you can put some Jawas around it. And...
yeah, you could recreate the whole thing. But they were talking about you can take off the reason why you can take it apart is you can take some figure art, like photographs. Everything is in there. There's the carbonite section, the area that he freezes people. There's actual hooks in the ceiling to slide them. His armory is in there with actual blasters. The vac tubes there if your figure needs to go potty.
Because we need that Star Wars canon bathroom.
Yeah. I don't have room for this. I've made my peace with it. I have nowhere to put it.
I was going to say, I have had like daily like internal struggles where I'm like, do I need this? Do I not? Do I not? And every day, well, the fact that like they announced that they're going to do another tier unlock because they already hit their max goal. Mm-hmm. It's like that's tempting me, but then every time I see like a new picture, like the stuff from the Fan First Friday live stream that they did today, and they showed like the whole thing and took it apart, I was just like, I don't have the space for this, but I really need this.
Like if I got it, I would have to live on my kitchen table. Like that's literally the only place I could put it because it's so big.
I was going to say, maybe I can like fit it like up there-ish, like sort of yeah. Above the rest of my Mando stuff. But even then, I'm like, I'm pushing it.
I mean, you could hang it from the ceiling, I suppose.
Who knows? I don't know. It's going to as we get closer, it's going to be push comes to shove with me, and I'm either going to pull the trigger on it or not.
It's still available. So, but the tiers they added, the one I can think of off the top of my head is they added the child with its roaming stroller. I saw a really cool detail where they showed Den in the driver's seat, mm-hmm. lack of a better term, and the shifter was missing the knob, and then behind them the child figure was holding the knob, which I was like, okay, you bastards. Yeah. It's like the Subaru. It's like Subarus with their dog commercials, and I bought a Subaru a couple years ago. Almost got me.
This close.
The divorce is not cheap. If I bought that, woo, baby. My wife deals with a lot of my collecting habits and poor choices when it comes to collecting, but I know my boundaries.
I think you used your pass on the child, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's going to be an interesting piece in our living room.
Stop staring at me.
But babe, our kid loves it. All right. Oh, more Vintage Collection news. I'm so excited for this. I haven't purchased any of the Vintage Collection sets because once you take them out of the box, they're kind of just like bare bones, and the box art is gorgeous. But I think they might have got me. Tantive IV set. Look at that. Look at that gorgeous boxing. It's honestly just three walls, two walls.
Right.
That's all you're going to get. But that is the exact moment I fell in love with Star Wars. They got me. They did it.
They were like, you know what's going to get BP? This set right here.
So, yeah, I pre-ordered that. What are you going to do? So, yeah, that's available for pre-order, too, pretty much anywhere you buy your toys. Yeah, that's only one picture. I posted on our Facebook page and maybe our Twitter and Instagram, Black Squadron Podcast. Check us out. There's a bunch of pictures. There's art all around the box. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. Even if you just buy it for the box, which I am because I'm a nerd. So are you guys familiar with the samurai style, Ronin style Star Wars figures?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Before I show you this one, because I don't think this one is included, but the company who does this, Bluefin, I think, or Bluefin is having a New York Comic Con sale right now. If you're listening to this literally right now, it's buy two $50 each, which is like $40 off each figure. So you get two for $100 right. Of the Star Wars Ronin figures. But they just announced this one a couple days ago. It is the Din Djarin, the Mandalorian. That looks phenomenal, guys.
Well, and it's so cool because they like the whole idea of the Mandalorian is like that lone samurai, the you know, samurai and the cub kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I love this figure. I'm probably not going to get it only because I know they're holding off probably for a like Beskar version with the child, and that's what I'm hoping for. And I know that's probably going to be twice as expensive, so I'd rather throw double the money at that than on this the pre-Beskar one.
So pre-orders are open for this right now. P-Bandai.com. It's $100. Pre-orders are open, like I said, and the expected delivery is March 2021. There's a lot more pictures, and I'm on the website, so I'll just go ahead and show you guys.
I was gonna say it really is a cool figure, and all the details that they included with it. It's really interesting looking. So I'm curious if they're going to do more of these. Like, I know they've done a Jango version in the past. They've done a Boba Fett. They've got Stormtroopers. They've got all kinds of them. But I'm curious if they're going to do more Mando figures. Like, if we're going to see like a heavy infantry Mando or Death Watch Mandos, or because I feel like those are easy since they've got the helmet already to do them.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. It comes with his blaster, his pulse rifle.
Mm-hmm. He's got a little samurai sword.
Yeah.
So I think it's a cool looking figure. Like I said, if I didn't have this feeling that they're gonna drop the other version, I would 100% get this.
You know, I just realized his sidearm, flintlock.
Yeah, all of them they do flintlock style. So like I think the stormtroopers have either crossbows or bow and arrows or flintlock pistols or flintlock blasters. The Jango Fett, I think, has two flintlock blasters. So
that's incredible. I've never noticed that before.
They're really cool. Like if you're into samurai style figures or just think they look cool, I would pick them up, especially since like BP, you said they're running a sale on a bunch of the figures right now.
The Maul one is badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have this weird thing about my Star Wars collectible from the ones I collect. I'm just such this weird thing about I have to have them like exactly like they are in the content I've seen them from.
Yeah.
Like I don't like variants. It's not that I dislike them. Like I don't hate them. I just don't collect them.
Yeah. I was going to say, I appreciate them. It's just, I can't.
These are cool. These are super cool. And I would love to draw one, but I don't want to collect any because it's just not my thing. But hey, if you love them, yeah, go nuts.
And we know that. I mean, that's where Lucas got his ideas from.
Yeah, I mean,
that style. But I just can't. I can't get into them. But they're nice. They're suit. Like I said, the Maul one is badass. What do you think the child one would look like if he comes out?
Oh, I don't even know at this point. So, I just know there's got to be a Beskar child. Like it just makes no sense for them not to make one.
Could you imagine a samurai pram?
That's what I'm imagining is like either some kind of Beskar style Ronin, Mando, and then the Pram and some kind of elaborate ornate,
like a dragon.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they could go crazy with it. So I fingers crossed that they make that, because that's an easy buy for me. Throw that in my cart in a heartbeat.
Instead of a dragon, in Clone Wars season 7, the Bad Batch episodes, the aliens, they go and help. They were flying those like dinosaur looking things.
Oh,
yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Then I'd probably say, okay.
Or some Minox. Bandai,
hit us up and we'll help you plan the next one.
Hey, we are luminous beings after all. You know what? I got these websites. I'm just going to pull them up because this is fun. So there's three more things to cover here, and they're all Hot Toys. So while I pull this up, go to our YouTube channel. You're already on it. Subscribe if you haven't already, please and thank you. Todd just got the Mandalorian Din Djarin, episode 1, 2-ish
figure. 2 and maybe like part of 3, beginning part of 3.
The Mando we've first come to know. Mm-hmm. Hot Toys.
I just call him pre-Beskar.
Pre-Beskar Mando. There you go. And he did a unboxing and review, and it's gorgeous, guys. Go check it out. Give us some love. Helps us, honestly, helps us a ton. And when you guys like stuff and comment, share it, and that way we can keep doing more, because we, as you can tell, where we're talking about this stuff, we love it. So speaking of Hot Toys, let me just show you this. We'll start with the boy, oh boy. My computer's like, are you sure you want to show this? Because it's too sexy.
I was going to say, Hot Toys, like, I've known about Hot Toys, but now that I've got one, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, I can see how this is a rabbit hole people fall down.
Yeah. And I wanted to show the website for a reason, just to show you guys the price point on these. Obviously, you see that $220, and your first initial reaction may be, that's a big one, Elizabeth. But Sideshow has incredible payment plans. I bought the life-size child a year ago or 6 months ago. I have no clue. But the payments have been super low, and I think I've already paid it off. So don't be afraid. They're amazing. But the Coruscant Guard, Hot Toys, brand new. New hotness. This is from Clone Wars, I believe, based off some of the pictures I'm going to show you guys. I wish I could make this a little bigger, so I apologize that I can't. But you can see how gorgeous they are. The detail on Hot Toys is unmatched. But that, sick. which I'm pretty sure comes with the next figure I'm going to show you guys. But just know that I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
I was going to say, that's a cool shot right there. But I also feel for anybody who wants to recreate that scene from Clone Wars, only because you're $1,200
picture,
buying like 7 figures, and like I've seen people doing, like people buy multiple stormtroopers and they'll buy Vaders and they'll create whole scenes from the movies,
dude,
these figures, and I'm like, oh, you guys are something.
I'm buying one, taking a picture, reposing, Photoshop.
Yeah.
I buy 2 Black Series and I feel like crap.
But here it is. You get, obviously, the figure comes with the thermal detonator, which is a nice touch, and then a bunch of random hand, so you can do gang signs if you want.
It's all about those interchangeable hands, let me tell you.
It's true. All right. So the next one I want to show you, I'm pretty excited about, because David has jumped into the Hot Toys game and ordered his first Hot Toys figure. And I got to tell you, if you're going to do it, this is a good one to start it with. So let me get that pulled up. And Mario also jumped in with her first figure from Hot Toys with this exact figure. So our group chat was a lot of fun. Clone Wars Season 7 Darth Maul. Look at this gorgeous bastard. This one's a little more expensive, and there's a reason for that. And a couple pictures in, you'll see why. But look at that.
I think, honestly, because Hot Toys has done a couple of Mauls, and I think this one might be my favorite, not just because of the accessories he comes with, but just because of the sculpt. Everything about this figure is just gorgeous looking.
Look at the sass in this picture. Yeah. Look at the sass.
Yeah,
that's the Obi-Wan stance.
Oh, that's... by the way, I pre-ordered that one too for the
Oh, nice.
Young old Obi-Wan.
This is a gorgeous shot. That might be my favorite scene in Clone Wars.
And people will buy both those figures and recreate that scene.
Yeah. This is the reason why it's more expensive than the guard. You get this Mandalorian sarcophagus that Maul goes in. Like, that's insanity. Look at that. And I'm assuming it lights up on the inside, because all the pictures they've shown us has shown it like this.
I'm hoping it does, because,
Even if they doesn't, I would
that means jury
rig. Yeah, I'd jury rig something to make it shine on the inside.
I can help you with that if it doesn't. Yeah. But gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's killer.
Look at that.
Oh, that's a good one. I do like their accessories, how they make the blades look like they're being swung.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just makes it fun to like 90% of the time they're going to stay in some, like, one single pose or something. Like, I've got my Din Djarin in a single pose, but it's nice to have options. Like, if you want to change up the poses, or you want to think, oh, look at that. That's a sharp looking boy right there.
What do you think he keeps in those pouches? The batteries.
The love of all his fans.
All the tears of Sabine.
Oh, that's so cool. Like, the sarcophagus honestly sells the figure. I can only imagine, if it hasn't happened already, people are 3D printing these.
Maybe. I mean, I feel like you need it once you know the dimensions, probably. Mm-hmm. But I'd be curious to see if they're, because I don't know if is there a Black Series for Maul? Did that come out with the big Black Series season 7? Okay.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't be surprised if people made it like the sarcophagus for Black Series scale if they do a season 7 Clone Wars version.
Really, all you would need is the sarcophagus and then a Black Series Maul head, you know?
Basically.
Or actually, you wouldn't even need the figure. You could literally print off Maul's face or eyes and put it in the...
Paint it up a little.
Yeah, that'd be easy. You know what? I'm giving myself some ideas here.
I was gonna say, you're gonna do a little weekend project.
Yeah, when I'm able to move again, I will. This is pretty cool. The pieces you get that come with it, you can make him shirtless if you want. You can make him have a hood, all the different hands, gloved and not, and then the lightsaber comes with two sets of blades, and the sarcophagus, which is really cool. And the face sculpt, I was always crushed it. And then there's one more Hot Toys. Let me get that pulled up.
I'm gonna say, get through this guy real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This one, right. I figured they were gonna make this one, but I'm also kind of disappointed that they made this over some of the other characters.
I don't have as many pictures for this one because I just pulled this one from Yak Face. What's up, Yak Face? All right, let me see. I just had to make sure I had it pulled up before I started sharing it.
It's a great looking figure. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think it looks awesome. I also think they used some of the same pieces that they used in the Din Djarin figure.
And just repaid, I think, like, right?
Well, I was looking at it, and I think other people noticed it too. But like, some of the battle damage on this Death Watch that BP's showing, Death Watch Mando. The chest armor has got like the battle damage on it that you see in the Din figure. So, I mean, it makes sense that it's an easy repaint for them. I mean, there's not it's a lot of the same pieces. But still, I think it's a cool looking figure. I think this is the first time that we actually see the full, West Star pistol. Cause they don't, you know, we've seen them in the show, but I think this is the closest view that we've actually gotten of what the live action version of the West Stars look like.
When I first saw this figure in this picture of him kind of just standing pose with his gun out, I was like, it's cool, but I didn't love it. But when I saw the second picture of the flying pose, I was like, holy smokes, this is incredible.
Yeah, and that flying pose is kind of like, I was like, again, poor me, anytime Mando drops, I'm like, do I need it? Do I have the space for it? So this is another one that I'm on the fence on. It's probably either going to be this or the Razor Crest, and I feel like the Razor Crest is going to win in the end, but
I've seen that they got the colors wrong. I don't think they got the colors wrong, do you? I don't see how Sideshow would fuck it up like that, but
I don't think it's the colors of the armor. I think it's, and it's all the debate around a lot of the Mando stuff has been the flight suits. and like the colors of the flight suits and whether or not those are accurate. So like anytime you, if you like look at any of the costuming groups that are trying to figure out what flight suits screen accurate and which one's not, and having like the most screen accurate costume, and the flight suits are where a lot of people are getting caught up because of just how they filmed Mando, the lighting and everything and the filters that they use. It's hard to really pinpoint what color that flight suit is on the screen used version.
When I built my suit, that was the hardest thing, honestly. Sometimes it looks brown, sometimes it looks gray, sometimes it looks like a olive green.
It's all purple.
Over the place. Yeah, it's all over the place. So I went with gray.
I think it's cool. Yeah, like I said. No, I was gonna say, like I said, I think it's a cool figure. I just don't know. I feel like there's so many, like we still haven't gotten an armor, we haven't gotten a Cara Dune, we haven't gotten a Grief, we haven't got like just so many other bigger characters. I don't know if it's because of, you know, the state of the world right now and issues with production and getting new molds and new sculpts and things like that out.
Yeah.
But I feel like
Dune, that would be.
I feel like there's so many other Mando characters that they could make that they haven't announced or they haven't hinted at. I mean, obviously the child was a big like go for that because the hype around it, and obviously getting Din figures out. But it is kind of disappointing, and it's not just Hot Toys, but really just in general. It seems like there has been not too many Mando figures coming out.
It's been odd for sure.
Well, they've come out slowly too, and I don't know if that's due to so much of the show being under wraps. Like, just they kept it so hush hush for season one. But I don't know. Hopefully, we get some more more stuff that I'll have internal debates about whether or not I want to get it or not.
Yeah. I got to tell you, we've been talking about toys for the last hour, and this is the most fun I've had in a long time.
Listen, I love talking about toys. I could talk about toys all day.
That's the whole reason I started a podcast, my friend.
Just toys.
So we pitched this episode as the Squadron's thoughts and whatnot, so we should probably talk about that a bit.
Yeah, we can definitely dive into it a little bit.
So at the beginning of the show, I mentioned I had a car accident, so I haven't been able to play it. And David, as you can see by his name, doesn't have it yet. Squadrons came out. It's $40. Todd has beat the game, the story mode. So Todd, take it away.
Let me tell you about my time with Squadrons. So I stayed up until midnight because I hate myself when it dropped and played the whole night. Like, didn't sleep, jumped between the campaign, jumped between multiplayer. So it was really cool. Just some quick things about the game for those who aren't familiar with it. It's basically a flight simulator set in Star Wars. It's VR compatible. You can use HODAs, which is I think hands on throttle and stick, but it's basically, you know, you can have flight controls, you can have VR, so it's probably the most immersive thing we're ever going to get in Star Wars. And I know a lot of people love it. It's got I think it's got a very high like skill level, sort of like anybody can really play it, but it's got a high threshold for talented players and really figuring out all the nitty-gritty of the game. So the campaign you follow, it's two sides of the story. It's kind of the same story, but it's two different views on it. You follow a New Republic side, and on that you're a member of a squadron called Vanguard Squadron, and then there's the Empire side because this takes place after Return of the Jedi, and you're on a squadron called Titan Squadron, and the New Republic side is basically working to on this thing called Project Starhawk. They're trying to build a Starhawk ship. That we've seen in other pieces of canon, and the Empire side Titan Squadron is basically trying to hunt them down. So you really get a glimpse of the early days of the New Republic and the last days of the Empire. Overall, I thought the campaign was a lot of fun. I won't go into too many details just because I know I'm crazy and I already beat it, but I know there's plenty of people out there who probably haven't either touched it or beaten it. I do have some gripes with it, mostly around the ending of the New Republic side, and it's sort of the same kind of issues I had with Jedi Fallen Order. But like I said, I won't touch too much on that, but it's just my own personal gripes with it. I always want to see things go a different direction sometimes, a little possibly darker. They always seem to stay a little lighter than I like to see. but that's just my own personal view on Star Wars video games.
Have you played much of the multiplayer?
I have. So, like I said, the first night that I got it, I was jumping between The multiplayer and the campaign. The campaign more or less just to get a feel for the controls, and then the multiplayer, it started with the I'll play one more game, and then it was 6 a.m. I was like, okay, well, I can't play any more games now because I have to go to work now. So the multiplayer is fun. Excuse me. You have to there's two game modes. Well, there's really three game modes. There's dogfight, which is your standard team deathmatch, and that's going to be a 5-on-5, basically Empire and New Republic going at it. You know, first team to 30 kills gets the victory. There is fleet battles, which is, again, New Republic and Empire fighting. But instead of whoever can get more kills, you're trying to take out the opponent's flagship. So it's like a multi, multifaceted, but multi-tiered game mode where you basically try and take out the two, like each team gets two support ships. So Empire's got two support ships. New Republic's got two corvettes. You try and take those out, and then once you take those out, you can advance onto the other team's flagship. The flagships will tear you apart like nobody's business. Like, I will fly, because I always do this. I'll hop in a bomber. I'm like, all right, we're gonna get some bombing runs in, and I will fly straight at a Star Destroyer and just get absolutely obliterated.
It's those ventral cannons, so, man.
Yeah. Well, it's like I'm like sitting there like bobbing and weaving and doing circles and, you know, trying spinning, because that's always a good trick.
It's true.
And it's just it's fun.
By the way, if anybody's played this game and says that they haven't said what you just said while you're playing, I'll try spinning. That's a good trick. You're a liar.
Oh, I did it. I immediately was like, oh, this is fun. Let me try spinning now. So I'll like just spin in circles.
I played it for 20 minutes. I did it.
It's almost like I don't get this chance often, so let me do it. I did the same thing in Battlefront 2, though. Like, I would just start doing barrel rolls to save my life and then crash into like an asteroid or something and call it a victory.
Yeah.
So why do you think they say story mode before multiplayer?
To learn. I was going to say, the way the game's set up, a lot of the controls you learn through the campaign, and even some of the more advanced skills, like how to drift, how to properly do power management, because that's a big thing in the game, is on the Empire, you have speed and guns, and the New Republic, you have shield, speed, and guns. And one of the core mechanics of the game is switching between your different power sources. So you can either put everything in guns or everything in shields or everything in speed, and that will give you certain perks and certain benefits. So if you put everything in shields, you can overcharge your shields, which will allow you to live a little longer, say if you're attacking a flagship. Whereas if you put everything in speed and you're playing a TIE fighter, because they don't have shields, you can try and outmaneuver a New Republic ship or keep them in your sights or something like that. So it's a lot of I was playing with Slade the first day, and it was the way he talked about it, is it's just a lot. Like, you have to constantly be paying attention. It's not a casual game. You're constantly watching stuff. You have stuff constantly happening around you. So it's definitely not a casual game if you really want to be competitive with it. And
it's like a legit flight simulator.
Yeah. I would love to try the VR aspect or like something with the HODAs, just because like the idea of being able to look around and using a throttle and your joystick to try and shoot people, like, I feel like that'd be a lot. Like, I would get motion sick in a heartbeat because I already don't like regular flying. So I feel like doing that, I would just be like, try spinning and then just yak all over my floor, get car sick.
Yeah, the game, I played it very briefly, but it's fun. It's frustrating, but it's fun.
I am curious because, and you know, I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, but EA said that they don't really plan on putting new content in the game, which, you know, I think was expected given it's a $40 game. But with only fleet battles, dogfight, and you can do like a fleet battle against the AI, and you can do that as a co-op thing. So it does kind of add a little more element if you don't want to fight against other players per se. But that's really it. It's just those handful of game modes. There's a handful of maps. So I do wonder, longevity wise, if we'll see sort of a steep drop off in the player base as the game's out longer and people get bored or something new comes out. I mean, it's the fact that they are saying they're not going to really add anything extra, new maps or anything like that, I think kind of stinks, because there was a lot of hype around this game. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think we have any new Star Wars games on the horizon. I think Battlefront 3 is rumored to be coming out.
Yeah, 2024.
But yeah, so there's nothing really new coming out anytime soon. So I don't know. I feel like EA not adding anything to this game would be a bit of a blunder, especially since they've stopped adding stuff to Battlefront 2 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of surprising, but not at the same time, because when the game was announced and they announced it at the $40 price point, I initially thought that that doesn't sound sustainable in terms of DLC content, you know, particularly free. I thought if they were going to add something, it was going to be a purchase. But looks like they're not going to do it either way.
Todd, the way it ended without spoilers, do you think it will pick up for a second one? Or?
It's interesting because the campaign itself, like, you basically create your own pilot that's part of these squadrons, which I think is interesting because I think in a way it limits anything in the game to the game itself. So as far as future content, possibly within the game, like if they decided to ever add anything, I think there's a possibility for that. But I don't know if we'll see. I think everything outside of the game, so like I said, the short story that came out, it'll all have to take place before the game itself, or it'll have to be really isolated instances, just because of the nature of the campaign and sort of how your created pilot, plays a role in how the campaign plays out.
I will say that it was really cool to find out after the fact all the people that voice actors that we know and love from Star Wars canon were in this game. Vanessa Marshall, mm-hmm. James Arnold Taylor, and so on and so forth. So I thought that was really cool that they came back to do that.
Well, and there's a lot of just connections in the campaign itself to other canon stuff. Stuff that's mentioned in a lot of the books is in this. So if you're someone who's really like on top of your canon, on top of your reading, I think there's a lot of fun little Easter eggs placed throughout the game. Like I'm just loosely picked up on some stuff. So I feel like if you're really into the current canon, then you're definitely going to enjoy some of the Easter eggs.
What extras did you have in your cockpit?
Oh, so I've got Slade would be very proud. I have a little Ewok bobblehead is in my cockpit right now. And then on the Empire, I think I have like a kill streak kind of thing. Like all it's like a hologram and it's got like X wings and A wings and all kinds of different ships shot down.
So are you able to take snapshots on that stuff?
I think so. I can probably, yeah, I'll try and get some the next time I play and share it.
Should hashtag show us your cockpit.
Yeah. I think that could go poorly on Twitter.
We'll come up with something, but yeah, no, I mean, people, if they want to show what they're flying in, there is a lot of customizability as far as skins for your ships, stuff you can have inside of your ship. So I think that was kind of neat. But also at the same time, like it's weird seeing like an all gold TIE bomber flying throughout the map. I'm like that just feels wrong.
That's against regulation.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're what, Captain, is it Pyre from Resistance, the gold?
Yeah, I think Pyre is the gold one.
Yeah, maybe it's his extra ass. Yeah. thumbs up, thumbs down for Squadrons.
I would give it a thumbs up. I think it's a cool take on a Star Wars game. I know if you're like an old school X-Wing TIE Fighter fan, this will be right up your alley. If you're a flight simulator fan, this will be right up your alley. The campaign itself is pretty quick. I think it only takes like 6.5-7 hours. So if you want a fun Star Wars story that is from both sides, which I think is nice, because you know with Battlefront 2 we got the Empire side, but then it sort of transitioned into the Rebel side, whereas this, it's very much two different sides that both think they're doing the right thing. So if you're on the Empire, you think you're doing the right thing because the Empire is not in the wrong. They're fighting, you know, terrorist rebels. The New Republic to them is just another extension of the rebels that blew up the Death Star. And if you're on the New Republic side, you're trying to bring a new sense of peace to the galaxy in this post-Empire era. So I would definitely, if you, it's $40. I'm sure there'll be sales as the holiday goes on if you want to hold out a little bit. But if you want a fun game, I'd pick it up. It's definitely got a bit of a learning curve. I think the number of times I've crashed into an asteroid or wanted to throw my controller out the window off of some nonsense is already out there, you know, way too high. So
I will say it compared to Battlefront 2's flight portion. If Battlefront 2, if you're in your fighter and you like skim a star destroyer, you explode. But in this game, at least what I played, I bounced off of it. So there's a little bit of cushion there, but not a lot, guys.
Danny, I totally agree with you. I was just thinking about that.
I think I tweeted this, but you guys ever think about how when Porkins is about to explode, one of the other X-Wing pilots yells, "Eject!"
Into space.
It's not even like, I looked in like four books. I searched online. There is no escape pod in an X-Wing. Do they have, can you eject in an X-Wing?
I don't think so, because the whole idea behind an X-Wing is it's got life support, it's got shields, like it's the opposite of a TIE fighter, whereas like at least a TIE pilot, like if they get ejected into space, space might kill them, but they've all got like the breathing and all their stuff is because they don't have that in their ships. So I don't know. Biggs is the one that tells him to eject, I think. So maybe Biggs just had something against Porkins. He was like, this man's going down. Let me just throw some extra sand on his grave.
He's like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the longest episode we've done in a long time. So let's just cover a couple more house cleaning things here. No Ewok agenda this week because Slade is not here, and that's his baby. So next week's episode, next Friday, which is the 16th. October 16th, we're going to do a Mandalorian season 2 speculation talk episode. There's the word I'm looking for. So episode 38 will be Mandalorian season 2 talk. And why are we doing that 2 weeks before? Because the following week, episode 39, is going to be 5 ups, 3 downs. It's coming back for the 2 Ewok movies.
This should get interesting.
We haven't decided just yet if we're going to do 5 up, 3 down for both movies combined, or if we're going to do 5 up, 3 down for each movie. I don't even know. So yeah, we're going to do that. But why are we doing that? It's going to be a very Ewok specific episode, and we're really excited for it because a local brewery to us folks here in DC, in Baltimore, Maryland, called Full Tilt Brewing, posted a beer that Todd noticed and found. They have an Ewok beer, and it is called Ichiwama. It is a barley wine. The can is beautiful. It's got Drunk Wicket.
Yeah, Wick is toasted right there.
Yeah, he's toasted. It's a beautiful can. Anyway, I reached out to them on social media, told them all about our show and how Ewok Obsessed one of our hosts is. And they were super cool and offered to send us some beer to review on the show next week or 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, we're going to review an Ewok-specific barley wine beer, courtesy of the great folks at Full Tilt Brewing. So, probably gonna get drunk.
It's gonna be an interesting episode. That's all I'm gonna say.
To live through you guys and you know.
Yeah. The Nebraska outpost can be neglected at times when it comes to Ewok related beer. So what else do we got here? You guys might notice that Todd and David are wearing BSP specific merch. Todd with the Poe Dameron, and then David with the Dark Side TIE Fighter. We have a ton of logos up for A-Wings. I think there was a Y-Wing. There's a TIE Pilot or TIE Fighter, TIE Pilot, Poe, a little bit of everything. So everything helps.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there's a really cool Ahsoka one up. So if you guys want to help support our show so we can do more unboxings and all that jazz, definitely check out link in the description. Get some merch. Get that BSP drip. So yeah, other than that, please like and subscribe. Fellas, thanks for hanging out this week and talking toys for over an hour.
always happy to talk toys, like I said.
Definitely follow us on Twitter. We just hit 777 followers, so we're getting close to 1,000.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you for sure. And who is it? Danny. Hey, Dan, is there enough? Even that's it. Well, that's kind of why we haven't decided if we're going to do 5-ups for each one or both of them combined.
I'm sure Slade will have 10 for each one.
We might have to have him write his down so we can have a couple.
Yeah, exactly.
With some beer in it, I think it might go a little long and crazy.
Probably. I'm going to re-listen to our Eric Walker episode, Mace Tawani from Ewoks, just to see if I can pull any tidbits out of there.
God, what episode was that? Do you remember?
It was between episodes 6 and 7, so yeah. It was back in January. But all right, guys, thanks for everybody for watching, sticking with us for an hour and 15 minutes. Subscribe to our channel, like, comment, share. See you guys on social media, and may the force.